Welcome everyone to WFHR's Playmakers for this February 6th, 2023. Have your host James J. Mailoff here. Looking forward to being joined by Randy Paul when we get a chance here. Looking forward to Randy joining us. And looking forward to all of you joining us. This is your show. Call up 424-2600. You got sports thoughts and feelings. Don't sit on the sideline. Call up and join the conversation. We want to hear from you. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Appreciate them sponsoring the show. We're certainly going to talk Super Bowl today. I want to get your Super Bowl predictions, your Super Bowl prop bets, who you got for MVP, who was going to win this whole thing. How long is the halftime going to take? I don't care. Whatever you want to talk about with the Super Bowl, let's talk Super Bowl. Let's get ready for it. Certainly want to talk about a couple of other things and get into some local sports as well. We'll be doing a lot of coverage of your River Kings and plenty more coming up. But before we get to all of those things, let me talk Super Bowl and everything. Just sticking to football a little bit here. I'm a little late on this one, but we didn't. I don't feel like we really got to spend enough time on it. And now I was kind of I wanted to wait and see. Well, is Mike McCarthy going to be fired? Is he going to be let go for Sean Payton? This whole kind of storyline that was seemed like it was a sub storyline throughout the NFL season, where you have Sean Payton sitting there. You know, many for those that don't know, he has a long term relationship with Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys. Sean Payton has even said in interviews of years past, when he was coaching the Saints, mind you, that he thought the Dallas Cowboys job was a dream job and things. So I think a lot of people were seeing this and waiting for that shoe to fall. Didn't happen, of course. For those that don't know, Sean Payton has taken the job with the Denver Broncos and going to be their next head coach. And it looks like Mike McCarthy has gone. I think it's pretty safe to say that Mike McCarthy is going to keep his job, especially because Kellen Moore left, their offensive coordinator, who was kind of the heir apparent to take the job back, a couple of years ago, really, before McCarthy even got the job when their last coach was fired. So now that we know that McCarthy is going to keep his job for another year and everything, I cannot let some of those things in that playoff game go. Punting when you're down seven is in the fourth quarter is obviously just kind of a red flag to me that stands out. I don't know why or what you're doing there, and I have some follow-up questions too. But the last play of that game, I can't understand how nobody's talking about that. I've heard some talking heads talk about it a little bit here and there and everything. And I understand this was a little bit ago. But what was going on with that final play? The Zeke pancake, as I look to think of it now, where you basically, did they just want to, like, hey, this is probably the last, that's more than likely the last play that Ezekiel Elliott will have as a Dallas Cowboy. More than likely. By all accounts, it looks like he is not going to be back with the Dallas Cowboys next year. So his last play as the Dallas Cowboy was getting pancaked playing center. I don't know what was going on with that play right there. That seemed awfully weird to me, and I would have loved to have had. I want to know what was the hope for that team. If it was supposed to work, what was the working part? Where was it supposed to go? Kind of curious about that. And certainly curious about what you're thinking. Let's talk Super Bowl, everybody. Call up 424-2600. Want to hear your thoughts about the Super Bowl, who you think's going to win this whole thing. Now, I don't know if you even need to watch the Super Bowl because they had the Madden Sim predictions. So I'm sure we all agree that the Madden Sim projections certainly going to tell us who's going to win this whole thing. So we don't even really need to play the game anymore, which is great for player safety. I'm joking, of course. I'm kidding. But they did do a player simulation, and let me see here. Did they have Madden Sim predict the Eagles to beat the Chiefs? And if you're looking at the Vegas odds, they have the Chiefs as 2 to 4 point favorites right now. I'm sorry, the Eagles as 2 to 4 point favorites over the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think that that's an interesting one. I don't know the last time that you had two chalk Super Bowl. You've got two dominant teams, two of the teams that were pretty dominant all year long. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, as weird as it might sound to say, almost were under the radar for a little bit of the season with the hype that was put on the Buffalo Bills and some of that. And certainly, I think seeing the Chiefs losing Tyreek Hill, I think a lot of people went into this season thinking that was going to affect them a lot more than it ended up doing. And there is this weird thing that we do where we have greatness in our society, greatness in our sports or something like that, and we kind of like, yeah, he's great, but I want to talk about the new flashy, shiny thing. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is one of the greatest of all time, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But I want to talk about Jalen Hurts. I want to talk about this or this. And then we kind of just skate past it and forget, oh, yeah, this kid's one of the greatest ever. Do it. Did it with Michael Jordan. Did it with, I remember. We do it with these guys sometimes. So going into this Super Bowl, you've got two teams that, whether they're under the wire or not, were certainly in the power rankings all season long, top five of the power rankings. So I think it's pretty cool when you have a matchup like this. I would say that Philly has the edge on defense, certainly, but it's not as if Kansas City's defense hasn't gotten hot at times, including in the last month or so. So I think you've got a pretty even keel thing when it comes to that on the defensive side. And then on the offensive side, you've got two of the most explosive quarterbacks that you could ask for and offenses that you could ask for. And by all rights, on paper, this looks like it could be one of the better Super Bowls we'll ever have. I have a couple of like sub questions to go along with this. And again, call up 424-2600. We want to hear from you guys. I still don't know where Randy is. I thought Randy was here today. He said he was going to be here today. I could have swore I saw him even, but maybe something came up. But for as far as these sub questions I've got, I want to know, I'm doing this show in Wisconsin. So, and especially when we're talking about the Green Bay Packers, there's a big history, obviously, tied to the Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers. You got your first two. You've got some, I can't say recent Super Bowls, but more recent than some teams, including my own, have won. And most Packer fans that I know, and I have got a lot of them in my wheelhouse, in my bubble and everything, for many of them, it is Super Bowl or nothing. Like, winning an NFC championship is great, but outside of, like, NFC championship or Super Bowl, winning the division, just doesn't mean as much to them. So, with that being said, I understand that we would all prefer to have our teams in the Super Bowl. That's an obvious thing. But if you can't, and if your team isn't in the playoffs or isn't in the Super Bowl, one, do you still watch the games? Are you still just as intensely watching football? And two, is there a part of you that enjoys the game more or differently? Obviously, again, putting fandom aside, obviously we're going to lose our minds when our team is in the big game, of course. But is there, I don't want to say a relief when your team isn't in it, because that implies that you almost rather they not be in. And I don't mean that. But is there a part of you that kind of sit back and just enjoy the game? Like, oh, I don't have a biasness. I don't have a rooting interest in either of these teams. Most of us say when we're going into a football game or going into a sporting game, well, I just want a good game. I just want a competitive game. I say it all the time. With this one, I think we can actually mean that. Like going into it, if you don't have a bias, if you're not wearing a Chiefs or an Eagles jersey or something like that going into it, can you look at it that way? I'm a humongous Patrick Mahomes fan. Like billions of other people in the world. Even with that, like, he's already won a Super Bowl. So I'm not too like, oh, I really hope, Patrick Mahomes wins himself a Super Bowl. Like, I feel like he's got one. So I'm not as too hooked on that as I am on other things when it comes to this. I'm very curious, though. Like, is there a part of you that is able to enjoy this game a little bit more, or just maybe, the more or less isn't the right way to look at it, just differently? Do you enjoy the game a little differently? Do you have a little more, kind of just ease with the Super Bowl? It's more of an event and you're having fun, whereas opposed if your team is in it, oh, it's go time. That you're treating this like it's the most important, moment of anything outside of a, family or, kids being born and all that. Like, this is so vital. This is so important. Kind of curious. I wonder what you guys think about this one. And how many of you are looking forward to the Super Bowl when your team is not in it? Especially, I'll ask a lot of Green Bay fans out there. The last handful of, can we say the last 30 years? Last 30 years, you go into every NFL season, wondering if it's your year, wondering if you have, if you can win this thing, because you've got, well, I've got a quarterback, so I know that we've got a chance. Most teams feel that way. Most teams look at it that way. Having a year where you're not in the playoffs, I understand there could be a lot of grumpiness to that, and I don't blame you. But I'm curious, now that we've already had weeks of playoffs, we're over a month in, we're to the final game of the season, are you able to put all that kind of fandom aside and just watch the game? How much of you is a fan of the sport as opposed to a fan of the team? Would you still watch football? Would you still be just as big of a fan of football if you didn't have a home team? Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hi. I'm looking forward to see Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And he wins with his case with the Kansas City Chiefs. Because he was with the Green Bay Packers. So I was wondering how long the old duffer can hang on along with us.
Right on. Well said. I like that. That's a great answer. That's a great response. I appreciate that very much. And I'm with you. I'm a big Andy Reid fan. Love Andy Reid.
Okay.
Thank you for the call. I like that. That actually sets me up to something I forgot about, but I wanted to mention along with all that. Thank you so much to the caller. Great to hear from you. That's the other part of this. Do you find ways to be to tie into the game? I remember my papa telling me when the Packers were in the Super Bowl, and I'm looking at him, and he's rooting for the Packers, and I'm like, Papa, we're Bear fans. What's going on? He's like, well, I always root for the NFC North, and if an NFC North team isn't in, then I just root for an NFC team. I stick with my division. I stick with my side. That's the way my papa looked at it. That was his loyalty. That's the way he felt about it. And I thought it was kind of cool, I picked up a little bit of that from him. For me, I think that a lot of us do what the caller right there was saying. Like, okay, maybe your team isn't in it, but what are your ties to the teams that are in? I think that's maybe the best example we could have right there is the Andy Reid factor there. Andy Reid, very beloved in not just Wisconsin, but in Philadelphia and pretty much anywhere that man coached. We loved Andy Reid. And I can't help myself. I have to mention one more time, either Andy Reid is the greatest actor I've ever seen, or he did not know that they were filming a commercial. If you've seen the commercial with him and the State Farm, that's not State Farm. I forget which what it is. I forget even the company that they're promoting. And they don't advertise with us anyway, so I'm not going to mention them. But he's drawing on the guy's face, and he throws the marker or whatever. Like, again, either Andy Reid is the best actor that I've ever seen in my life, as somebody who's studied acting since I was 7 years old, or he did not know that they were filming him for that commercial, because it's too good. It's too good. It gets me every single time I see it. I may be rooting for Andy Reid, Randy, just because of that, just because of that commercial. I know he's already won the Super Bowl. We're all happy for Andy Reid that he won the Super Bowl finally and all that. Now that we're past that, now I want Andy Reid to win just because he can't win an Oscar for a commercial. So Randy Paul joins us. Good to see you, Randy.
Good to see you, too. Yeah, that is a hilarious commercial.
I love it.
Doesn't he do a great job? I love when he throws the pen.
It's the best. It's the best part. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Yes.
Randy, I've been talking with our great audience here a little bit about Super Bowl talk. I want to get into this with you a little bit. Of course, after our break, we'll get into some local coverage and appreciate that. So talking about the big game, we can get into predictions and all that stuff, and we'll have time for that and everything. But I'm curious of the watcher of the Super Bowl, the person that's pulled in. It's the biggest game in town. Everybody knows that by Monday morning or Tuesday, you will see the ratings. And sure enough, it'll blow away any other rating system of anything else that's been around. So we know that everybody's going to be watching. The world is going to be watching the game. But why you're watching, who, you know, what incentives you have to watch, especially when your team isn't in it. And I think our caller brought up something really interesting about, well, she's rooting because she wants to see Andy Reid win. And Andy Reid has ties to the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a little of that we do. I mentioned how my papa, for when our team wasn't in it, he would root for whatever team out of the NFC North is that way. And, it was usually the Green Bay Packers. It's only the Green Bay Packers. So he would root for the Packers. And that's very weird as a Bear fan, but it wasn't weird to my papa. It's like, that's what you do. That's our division. We stick with our division. What are the things that pull you to the game and pull you to have a rootingness in the game? I think that's an interesting thing. How many people are going to watch the game if your team isn't in it? Are you a fan of your team or are you a fan of the sport? just, you know, I'm not saying this like there's any wrong answers here or anything. We're talking sports. We're talking fandom. Very seldomly is there a wrong answer. But I'm kind of curious about the idea of it.
And don't you wonder, too, how many people are going to just be gathering together as a group?
Yeah.
Right? And then you sit there and the game is on.
Yeah.
But you're just more of a social gathering and eating the wings and having a great time. And, you know, yeah, there's a game, but it's a good reason to get together. Right.
I think that's a great point. I think that there's a lot of people that are going to be doing that. And the game is so secondary. It's, oh, I'm going to see Martha and the kids. You know, it's not, what's the score of the game? Like, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, a lot of times my family will come over just for that fact. You know, we're going to have a Super Bowl gathering. You know, might as well come over and we'll enjoy the game. And we don't watch a whole lot of it if it's not like a special interest. But it's just the gathering part of it.
We have a really, really interesting Super Bowl here together with this one. I think that it's noteworthy that you have kind of chalk in the Super Bowl. You have number one seeds, two teams. I was mentioning this earlier. Just looking at from week one and on, two teams that were in the NFL top, I believe, in the top five power rankings all season long. You can maybe even, I think, see top four or top three. So I think you had a team that kind of for a little while were under the wire, as weird as this is to say about a team that has Patrick Mahomes on it, but I don't think a lot of people were. You had the Kansas City Chiefs in the corner of your eye, but you were looking at the Buffalo Bills. You were looking, you know, they were more the darling coming into the season. So they kind of, that seems interesting to me. And then you had a team like Philly that were pretty much the number one seed in the NFC almost end to end. You know, like a college basketball team or a college football team being ranked number one from the start of the season to the end. The Eagles felt like that to me this year. So I think that part's interesting. You have the first time two African-American quarterbacks facing off. That's very noteworthy, but also like probably not going to be as rare going forward, I think. That's kind of interesting, too. There's so many factors of this game.
Yeah, I think the one thing that maybe knocked Philadelphia down at part of the season was, you know, Hurts being injured.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise they were always up there in the number one or number two. I think with Kansas City, maybe, you know, I couldn't recite for you all of the scores that they had in all of their games, but it seemed like a lot of the times I'd watch, they'd be in the 17s or low 20s, mm-hmm. and I may be way wrong. But, you know, without Tyreek Hill, they just didn't have that, you know, that guy that they would go to, and all of a sudden they put up, you know, 21 points in the first 8 minutes of the ball game, you know, because he just couldn't be stopped. So maybe that's one of the things that might hold them back in this game. Will Philly's defense be able to, you know, limit the offense of Kansas City, and will Kansas City's defense, which isn't always one of their strengths, will they be able to stop the offense of Philadelphia? So I think those will be the two interesting scenarios that'll play out in the game too.
I agreed, all across the board. I think the thing that, if I'm countering it with the Mahomes, with the Tariq Hill and stuff, for one, I always call him the hyphen, Valdez-Scantling, he has, like, kind of grown as a football player, like, literally physically grown a little bit, like, muscle-wise and everything, and certainly with concentration on that ball and drops and everything. He stands out a little bit to me as an X factor. Marco Hardman is not going to be in this game with a pelvis injury, I believe. So that gives a little more opportunity for guys like him and Juju Smith-Schuster. And the evolution of Patrick Mahomes is noteworthy. Nothing has stood out to me, I think, more this season than the fact that this guy has evolved as a quarterback when we are already calling him one of the GOATs. And yet he's gotten even better this year. I'm not just talking statistically, although some of his stats are some of the best he's had in his career. Watch Mahomes play compared to last year with Tariq Hill and to this year. With Tariq Hill, he's almost automatically looking downfield. Almost automatically, the first thing he's doing, he's great. He's one of the best checkdown artists there's been. Him, Rodgers, a lot of these guys. But when you got Tariq Hill on there, he almost automatically, like as he's checking down, you could see him looking up. Because he's a tall enough quarterback, you could see this. This year, I saw this guy check down first. And if that long ball's there, I'll hit it. But I have no problem hitting Juju for a 5-yarder every down on this drive. It's not sexy. It's not noticed in the great top 10 sports packages, you know, at the end of the week and on SportsCenter and all that. But it has like evolved this kid to even another level. So all the improv factors he has, and now he's calculated. He's surgical with that ball. Oh, great. Like, oh, that, let's just make the most, you know, improv quarterback of all time even better.
I think, you know, and now that you mention that, I wonder how much the high ankle sprain is going to bother him, too. You know, if that's going to take away some of the scramble. And so if, you know, are they going to be able to contain him and keep him in the pocket and put more pressure on him? You know, we didn't get a chance to talk. I wasn't able to make it in the last week or so. But we never got a chance to talk about Josh Allen. You know, he really didn't run much in that game against Cincinnati.
No.
And was it the elements? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a snowy day. It was a slippery day. The pass rush wasn't there against Joe Burrow either. I think he only got sacked in that game one time. So that limited probably Josh Allen's running in that game. So will the ankle injury limit, you know, Patrick Mahomes too? So that's just that's the third thing that we're going to be watching, I think, in that game.
I don't mind rewinding. I rewound all the way around before that to the Dallas game because I wanted to talk about that final play McCarthy had. And how did you? I don't know how you keep your job if you're Mike McCarthy, let alone how you keep your job after that. I saw him put up that play knowing they were going to lose that game and thought, well, this is him like making it easier for Jerry Jones to fire him. Like I that was the first thought I had. It was like, well, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out doing the play. This is the last play I'll ever call as a head football, because I do believe this is his last head coaching job.
Hmm.
I don't think Mike McCarthy after this job is going to get another head coaching gig. He'll get offensive coordinator jobs if he wants it or whatever, or defense or whatever he is focused on. But I don't believe that Mike McCarthy will ever have I don't know if anybody was going to hire him as a head coach even with before the Dallas thing. We didn't see his name in Dallas was the only team looking at him as a head coach. So I just don't know going forward how many opportunities he's going to have. And I'm not saying this because he's a bad coach. I'm saying it like Mike McCarthy to me is that quarterback that, yeah, he does these things great, but he turns the ball over three or four times a game, and I can't have that. The Daniel Jones thing a couple of years ago, Daniel Jones got all these talents, but he couldn't put it together and couldn't stop fumbling the ball. This year seemed to do that. Mike McCarthy, the same way Mike McCarthy I saw when I was a kid and he was first coaching the Packers, is the same Mike McCarthy I just saw in that game. He has never evolved. He's never changed. He lied to Jerry Jones like during his opening press conference, admitted he lied. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he's kept the job as long as he has. So I was a little surprised by that factor. So I went all the way back to that. So we can definitely go talk, earlier than last week and everything. And I think that that's an interesting game you're bringing up, because I don't know if I've ever been more confused by a playoff game, not just football, a playoff game period of any sport. I wasn't surprised Cincinnati won. Cincinnati's a cold element team, too. What I was surprised by some of the simplest of things. You knew going into that game what the terrain was like, what the weather is like. You have a home field advantage for a reason if you're Buffalo. How do you not have the cleat situation figured out for your D-line? How does the O-line for the Cincinnati Bengals have a better cleat situation and more prepared than your defensive line for the Buffalo Bills? And the fact that it was all game, it was a problem. We've seen a billion times in sports, going back to when we were kids, guys' cleats aren't working, he changes his cleats. Heck, I can remember in high school football happening at Lincoln, that happening. So I got to think that was like, what, did nobody have, like, did anybody bring the cleats? Anybody bring cleats? Like, they forgot the cleats of Buffalo or something? Like, that is so bizarre to me how that game played out. And then you add on the factors like you mentioned that, okay, Josh Allen, mobile quarterback, a guy that can fall forward and get you a first down, basically, literally, like just fall down and get you a first down. Okay, I'm going to take advantage of that, I think. And yet they didn't. They didn't seem to have any play designs for that. They seemed to be wanting to air the ball, do an air raid or something. I don't know. I mean, in that weather, you drafted James Cook, you got Devin Singletary. I'm not saying they're all pros, but you got them for a reason, you know?
Yeah, you know, you think about that cleat thing, that happens a lot.
Yeah, almost every game.
And you're just like, I think there's probably people who this is their profession.
Yeah.
They are the equipment people.
Yes.
Who should probably do the research and know how long a cleat you need. And all you have to do is get out there, you know, have this all set before the game. Or can they not? They change them at halftime.
Yeah.
I mean, so they should be able to change them before the game if they test them out and it doesn't working. Unless conditions, you know, change so rapidly during the game that they'll have to wait till halftime, but I don't think they did. Yeah, that one has always been mind-boggling to me. You know, just put on, and what happens is, and I don't know, What happens, though, if you put on the extra long cleats? Does that somehow slow you down, or does that hurt your performance?
Nah.
So they try to stay away from them so they don't dig in too deeply into the turf. But, boy, I'll tell you what, that sure does seem kind of like a head-scratcher.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back afterwards, and we'll get into some locals coverage Randy's got for us, and plenty more on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here at WFHR, brought to you by our great friends from Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Randy, Paul, and James here with you, and Randy does an amazing job, of course, announcing for so many of our high school teams in pretty much every sport you can think for. I actually have heard Randy do tiddlywinks before.
That was a good match.
Randy does an amazing job with great coverage for us. What do you got for us, Randy?
Boy, you know, it's this time of year, right? It's March, mm-hmm. and the tournaments are starting just around the corner, and so here we go, folks. In the Valley Boys High School basketball, Rapids is now 1-7 in conference action as the Raiders fell at home on Friday night to 3 Dubs, 79-55. Cade Youngworth with 13, while Evan Matthews and Chase Fox each added 12. Marshfield is still unbeaten in conference play as they topped Wausau East 73-60 on Friday.
That's a good one.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they? But then on Saturday, the Tigers hosted the Galloping Ghosts of Kaukauna. They lost a 9-point halftime lead and fell 73-68. I like this one, the Battle of Acronyms.
Yeah, yes, yes.
DCE stopped SPASH.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
67-61. And Merrill transposed Elko, 83-38. Mm. Merriwood South action. Assumption outscored Athens by 7.5, number 2, but it wasn't enough as the Blue Jays prevail 60-55. Ryan Shaw with 19, JT Schlafer 13, and Nick Lieberg added 10. Third rated Newman Catholic, they ripped Rib Lake 91-70. Marathon is tied with Newman atop the Merriwood as they annihilated Abbotsford 73-35. Seventh-ranked Auburndale, Pop Prentice, 84-57. Lucas Yeske had 30 points. Alex Wilford added 20, and Mason Meissner poured in 13. And Edgar rallied past Phillips, 55-40. Central Wisconsin South action, Port Edwards routed Rosholt, 64-29. Brendan Beck scored 17. Josh Tranel added 10. Eighth-ranked Pacelli mauled Menominee Indian, 93-62. James, we've got to take a timeout. A couple of weeks ago, I wasn't able to report on this, but there was a player for Pacelli. His name is Jaden Owie. I believe he's a sophomore. He had a quintuple double.
Whoa.
Yeah. 18 points, 13 rebounds, 11 steals, 10 assists, and 10 blocks.
Young man, have a day. Wow.
Right?
Wow. I did not hear about that. That is awesome.
Isn't that something?
Man, is that amazing.
A quintuple double.
I might retire if I did something like that. I might be like, I'm done.
I'm done. That's enough.
I'm never topping this. Yeah. I'm done. That's awesome.
Way to go, Jaden, right?
Yeah, way to go.
Almond Bancroft won at Pittsville 43-27. Marcus Getzinger's 9 points led the Panthers. And Wild Rose whipped Tri-County 74-24. In the South Central, in a game you heard on our sister station, WIRI, Nakusa fell at home to Westfield. 55-31. Nash Kretschmar had 8 points for the Papermakers. The Dells is now 15-3 and 6-0 in conference play. They picked up a win at Portage 68-53, and Adams Friendship nipped Wautoma 50-49. Girls high school basketball action in the Valley. Wisconsin Rapids loses at Wausau West 65-41. Spash sits atop the Valley with a perfect 9-0 mark as they dump DC Everest 73-19. Marshfield, they're just a half game back as they whooped Wausau East 65-23. And Merrill lost a non-conference tilt to Crandon 50-38. Merriwood South on Thursday, the 4th-ranked Assumption Royals were upset on the road by 7th-ranked Athens, 59-54. Close down the stretch, Athens hit a few free throws and put it away. Then on Saturday at the Oshkosh Arena, the Royals slipped past Wild Rose, 59-53. Jordan J. Glinski led the way with 17 points, followed by Anna Schooley with 16 and Kendall Dillman had 13. Edgar edged Phillips on the road, 66-60. Auburndale falls at Phillips on Tuesday, 61-56. Anna Marie Owie poured in 16. Josie Ertl had 12. And Ashlyn Grimm added 11. Marathon loses in the final seconds to Pacelli, 41-39. And Newman is now 10-10 with a 60-40 win over Rib Lake. Central Wisconsin South action. Port Edwards remains winless as they fall to Rosholt 69-22. The Blackhawks will be at Northland Lutheran tonight. Elmond Bancroft remains in first place as they beat Pittsville 42-31 on Thursday. On Friday, Pittsville gets a W 54-21 over Tri-County. Bryn Friday led the way with 10 points for the Panthers. And Wild Rose, they rolled past Tri-County 70-31. South Central, Nacoosa loses at Mauston 59-21. Third-ranked Westfield is now 21-1 as they dump the Dells 61-43. Wautoma falls at home to Appleton North 50-33. And in overtime, Adams Friendship nips Mauston 68-67. In the Wisconsin Valley Wrestling Meet, the conference meet took place this weekend. Marshfield was in first place with 238.5 points, followed by Rapids in second with 172.5. First place finishes for Lincoln went to Landon Freeman at 113 and Kyler Tritz at 182. Both of those were via pin in the finals. Thursday, a game you heard on FM 105.5, Wisconsin Rapids defeats Marshfield in hockey action 7-4. Carson Gause, Grady Miller, and Trevor Vilbaum all scored 2 goals apiece. Milo Sperlin turned back 23 shots. Their next game will be tomorrow as they will host Valley Conference leader Stevens Point 9-0 at 7 p.m. Well, yesterday they also had the seeding meetings for the hockey tournament that will be coming up here next week. Brackets are out. Wisconsin Rapids is in sectional number 1, and they got an 8th seed.
Yeah.
So that means they will be at home against number 9, Toma, and that will be on Valentine's Day, 8 days from now, February 14th, at 7 p.m. at the Rec Center. But the not-so-good news is that the winner faced 3rd-ranked and top seed Eau Claire Memorial on either Thursday or Friday. Spash got a number 2 seed, and they will host the winner of number 7 Eau Claire North and number 10 DC Everest. And the River Kings, they got lost a couple of games at home this weekend.
Yeah.
Overtime to the Minnesota Blue Ox 7-6 on Friday, and then 8-5 on Saturday. And they'll be back home on Saturday, and we'll have it for you on our sister station as well.
And we're in a pretty, I don't know if you'd say must win, but definitely got to win as many of these as we can right now to make sure that we're, we got a playoff spot, I believe, but it's you know, want a nicer one. Talking to Coach about this, and talking to Coach about this last week when we did, it did seem like the Blue Ox is one of those teams that kind of has us like this sometimes. They have in years past too. So, kind of interesting to see how that plays out. I actually got to go to a River Kings game last weekend.
Oh, sweet.
Such a darn good time. Cannot encourage you enough. If you haven't been to a Kings game, get to the Southwood County Rec Center. Take in one of these games, people. Especially as we got all these home games to wrap up the regular season.
It was so cold last Thursday. It was nice to go into the rink and warm up.
Yes, yes. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good here. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Well, finally, Randy's in the studio, so I can ask him about these questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of the research that I've done. I know we want to talk a little bit of Super Bowl stuff, but trying to keep it with the local high school sports. You mentioned back probably, I had it back probably late October, early November, about they were talking about changing up conferences for football.
Yeah, yeah.
And I you know, I found some of the stuff on it and how they were, you know, talking about how they were going to align the conferences and things like that. And does the WIAA even think of these schools that are struggling as it is to keep the athletic programs going because of transportation and things like that, and how they seeded these possible new conferences?
I know some of the things that I've read that the trips are really long within the conference, especially when you've got teams that are within miles of each other, that they're not going to be playing one another anymore in conference action. It just, I know, and that was a concern I was reading about too, the exact same thing you said, that what this is going to cost the athletic departments of these schools as well. And of course, not everyone is going to be able to afford those trips. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the shot clock situation they had a couple of years ago when they were going to install these shot clocks in the high school. And these smaller schools are like, we can't afford that, first of all, just to put them in. And then secondly, we'd have to have a third person available to run them at the scorer's table. So they backed off on it, and they changed their mind on that too. So it'll be interesting to see, because I think they said that they're going to take input a couple of times during this process and get some reaction from the the local schools.
Yeah, two quick notes on this, sir, just for the audience that doesn't know what we're talking about, and we are talking about a conversation from a couple months ago. So just catch everybody at Valley Football Association is talking about combining with the Big Rivers into the Big Rivers / VFA conference. This would affect Marshfield, Stevens Point, Wausau West, DC Everest, and the Wisconsin Rapids. Wausau East and Tomahawk would join the Great Northern Conference. The Marawood Conference would no longer exist, moving Colby, Marathon, and Loyal Greenwood to the Central Wisconsin Conference Large. Abbotsford, Auburndale, Edgar, and Pittsville would move to the CWC Small Conference. So just trying to catch everybody up on a little bit of this, and this is something that they're voting on, they're talking about, no decision has been finalized yet. Now let's get into this, because I'm so glad we're talking about this. This is what this show was designed for, was to talk about these kind of things.
So now, but the thing is, though, now when I looked into it more, they're talking about sending Nakusa and Westfield down to the Trailways Conference, and they would have to go down to Milwaukee Charter School, or even down to Johnson Creek, Cambria, Friesland, you know, Palmyra, you know, I mean, Randolph. I mean, the kids would have to leave at noon on Friday to get to these, you know, so they can get there and be able to stretch out and kind of relax, you know, and then, you know, like the, they're bringing in Eau Claire North and a memorial with the Rapids and Marshfield and all that with that Big River Conference, and, you know, and the South Central, they will kind of still kind of be central a little bit. I mean, I think the farther south they would go would be Ripon, or maybe Waupun, not quite, I can't remember where those areas are, you know, in conjunction with that. But like you said, you would love to get the WIAA on the radio and hear their explanations on this. It just,
I keep reaching out and I keep, getting these no responses or things like that. And I try to make this clear to them. I'm not asking them to be on the air so I can, like, throw a bunch of hardball questions or things like that. Like, I just want to talk to them. Like, I don't want to have, like, a fight. I'm not looking to do that. I just want to talk about these things so we can know where they're coming from on this. Because I've read multiple articles about this, as it sounds like you have, sir, and I know Randy's looked at some of this. And every time I'm reading them, I come out of them like, have these people ever had a person in, like, ever had a child in high school sports? Because it reads to me like a bunch of people living in a bubble that have literally never had a child in high school athletics before. And that doesn't seem like the type of people that should be making these decisions. It seems right. There's a lot of money in high school sports, and none of us, whether we like it or not, can skate past that. But it also costs a lot of money to run high school sports. And it doesn't if you're asking kids to, be at the, you know, put dedicate so much of their childhood, you know, to these games and to this stuff. Okay, well, what are we doing to make this more accessible for them? If we're having, you know, kids having to leave like at 6 a.m. to get to a home, you know, get to a game or something like that, like some of this stuff, the logistics of these things just don't add up. It just doesn't make any sense. The only thing I'm left with is, well, the people making these decisions must not have any children in high school athletics. I have a hard time believing that's actually true. But when I read this stuff, that's what I'm getting from this.
Right. That's where I'm getting it too. And it just doesn't make sense. And we're, you know, they want to get the competitive balance with some of these schools, but Nakusa, they can't find somebody else around coming here, competitive balance of the same type of schools and closer.
Yeah,
You know, why send them down to Johnson Creek or down to Milwaukee to play a conference game?
You know, I remember...
I don't get it.
I remember in the NBA where there was for years and years, if you were a free agent, you wanted to go to the East Division, because anybody could win in the East. You know, there was no real set dominant team. It was all the teams out West. This year, it's the exact opposite. It's this year, the East is heavy. And if I'm a Kevin Durant or somebody like that, I want to go to the West. I got more chance to win over there. Conferences change. Teams change. The idea of pairing this team against this team, whether it's high school sports or the pro level, is ridiculous. You're going to go insane trying to do that year in, year out. And as far as like making it more accessible for teams that maybe have to play 8-on-8 or something like that, that's a whole different category. Then, of course, you're probably going to have some travel involved, because you're not going to, likelihood of having those teams close to each other is not, logistically probably going to happen.
I think the other thing, I think the other thing that's kind of interesting about that is, teams start to are co-oping more and more than ever, and so that's going to change too. So is that going to, is that going to affect the results, or are young athletes going to be saying, maybe I'm on the bubble of whether I want to play this football sport or not, and if I have to go traveling down to Milwaukee and go on the bus for 2.5 hours one way and then play a 3-hour game and then come back 2.5 hours, I don't know if I want to commit that kind of time. So just another little aspect that I think they'd have to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus I know you've talked in the past, Randy, too, with the rivalries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, how many times has Nakusa and Adams really battled, especially in football?
Mm-hmm.
That one's gone. I don't get it. I mean, I just the thinking of the WIAA is, I guess. I mean, even when I was in high school sports, they're thinking on certain things, and that was back when they were. They had the three classes, A, B, and C. They didn't have the divisions.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it.
I will say this. I will admit that you can't win for losing sometimes. And if I'm a board mm-hmm. member, if I'm somebody, I will wholeheartedly say right to their face, you got a very difficult job. It's a very difficult thing to be able to figure all this stuff out. That being said, there are some things that are just, it seems like simple logic that leads me back to, again, right. Where I'm reading these articles or I'm reading from the WIA's own website and reading, like, do you guys have any kids in high school sports? Like, have you ever had a child in high school athletics? Because some of this stuff just reads like it's not only cold to the child, but almost like, you're not college football, right? Like, the idea that we got to treat everything just because it's NILs and a lot of these things, these kids are growing up faster and all that, doesn't mean that you have to adapt to that necessarily, that you have to treat your divisions or your sport that way. It can still be treated just as high school sports have always been treated. These other side factors are going to take care of themselves. I wouldn't be worried about that.
Maybe another thing that they could look at instead, I think about basketball, and I think back, 15, 20 years, but there's a team over in Green Bay New Lutheran, and they played in this tough basketball conference, and they would be 12-12, right? But then when it came to time for the tournament, they'd be, in their Division 5 bracket, and boy, they would go all the way to the sectionals and play Assumption some great games to get to state, and it was down to 1 or 2 points because they played the tougher competition during the year, but they still, right. When it came to tournament time. Now, I think that's the thing that they're afraid of in football, because not everybody qualifies for football, yeah. So you might be a Division 4 school, but you're playing against 3-2s because they're closer by, and now you don't make the playoffs, and yet you could have gone pretty far in the playoffs. So maybe what they need to look at is strength of schedule and say, yeah, you're playing closer games, but at least these teams are in your area. You don't have to drive to Milwaukee. And we're going to consider the strength of schedule, and we'll say, these teams are still going to make the playoffs, even though their record might be 3-6. So that might be a wiser way to look at it.
Yeah, that's interesting. You can find out all the references I've been using for most of this and all the information that you want to find is at WIAAWI.org. It's WIAAWI.org. Sir, before we let you go, I did want to get some Super Bowl predictions from you. You got anybody in mind? You think you know who's going to win this? Who's going to win the MVP? Anything like that?
I'm leaning toward KC a little bit, Yeah, like your papa said that, you got to root for the team and, the NFC if, you don't have a horse in it from the north. Mm-hmm. But I think, like you said, Andy Reid is kind of a sentimental favorite there.
Yeah.
He's just a great coach in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just very humble, very down to earth. I'm going to lean probably by maybe a field goal. KC winning. Mahomes will probably get the MVP unless, it's a quarterback.
a lot of times the quarterback award. So you got to look at Mahomes on that end of it.
Do you ever do this that you vote for regions of the country? Like, I'd rather see a center of the United States win compared to the East Coast, West Coast type of thing?
That's a good question.
No, I've never done it that way. I just kind of, a lot of times too, I mean, especially when it comes like, you know, you look at it, I look at the underdogs too.
Yeah.
You know, they sit there and hype up this one team and the underdog can't you know, compete with this. And, you know, I look at it that way too, but I kind of look at it as, you know, even when the last time that Andy Reid was in and they won it with KC, he deserved it. Just like last year, Matthew Stafford deserved to win the Super Bowl last year too. Mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, if a good guy is in there and wins it, I'm happy. If a bad guy's in there and wins it, it just, like, you know, turns their nose up at it. And I think for the NFL and the end of it, I think the ratings, if it was San Francisco in there, maybe the ratings might have been down a little bit. You know, if you want to look at it that way, you know, a little bit. But I think at the rating standpoint, I think this one could be a good one for them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, speaking of San Francisco, didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, but, you know, their fourth-string quarterback went out with a concussion, so they had to bring Purdy back in. We couldn't throw the football. Were you surprised that they didn't, you know, you're losing and it's getting away from you? Wouldn't you put some, there's got to be somebody on the roster that played high school, college quarterback that could at least try to throw the football, because obviously this didn't work.
Yeah.
You think they would have, when it got desperate measures.
McCaffrey could have probably done it. I mean,
they had a couple of wildcat plays with McCaffrey, but yeah, I think they should have went to that sooner. And for a guy who, and I'm not saying he isn't, Coach Shanahan is a very, it seems like an incredibly smart coach and very, very, very good coach. But for all that pomp and circumstance about him, I would think, well, he knows that this is a possibility, so I'm not going to have my whole season and the opportunity of maybe not only just winning a Super Bowl, but one of the sneaky things that the owners don't talk much about is all these owners want to be the one with the most Super Bowl rings. So if I'm San Francisco, I'm in this fight. I'm in this argument. It means something to get to that game and possibly win this thing. I see a lot of people saying this. I don't like saying it because I don't want to take a shot at Josh Johnson, but I'm not going to put my season on that kid's shoulders who has been with my team for 2 weeks. To your point, Randy, I definitely have some. I mean, Brock Purdy was on the practice squad and everything. So, I mean, I would have brought another practice squad quarterback in than just hiring somebody necessarily or something. And I do think that it kind of lessened the game a bit. It was a shame. I do feel for that kid, too, because it looks like he's got Tommy John surgery ahead and everything. And you've got Joe Montana saying that they should go with Garoppolo going forward. So, I mean, that's kind of interesting.
Aaron Rodgers.
That talk, yes. I do want to thank the caller for joining us. Thanks so much for the time,
sir. Thank you.
Always good talking to you.
You guys have a great week.
You too. You mentioned A-Rod there. I did want to also mention before we wrap up that Green Bay Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers finally gets his name on the Wall of Champions behind the first tee at Pebble Beach, joining a long list of many people up there on that. So Aaron Rodgers won Pebble Beach yesterday. I believe it was yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. They got the trophy. I saw the post-match interview, and it was kind of interesting because his playing partner was saying, yeah, one of the holes, he par 5, he had it right up in front of the green and two, and he chipped it within 6 feet, so he basically birdied the hole for us.
Right.
Somebody else was saying too that he was kind of carrying the pro a little bit, but
that's funny.
Sounds like he had a great time doing that.
That's cool. Let's go ahead and take a call real quick. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hey, James, did you get my article I sent out there?
I did. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Gary. Yeah, that was a very good article, very well written.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for that. I did like the picture. I always appreciate that. Gary left me a nice article on Bobby Hall, the long time legend, and so much of his on off the ice stuff, and of course on the ice accomplishments and all that. Really well written article, and it's interesting to hear so many people talking about not just him, but going forward how we approach these people who have a dark side to them and maybe some horrible things that they have done, and at the same time we're such amazing athletes, and how you balance this stuff going forward, like we do in just culture anyway. It was a good, interesting article. Davante Adams put out his bit of a plea. No, I don't want to say a plea. Davante Adams did his recruiting pitch for Aaron Rodgers, and it was, "I'm here." That was his recruiting pitch to Aaron Rodgers. "I'm here. Come to Las Vegas. I'm here." Like, that's it. End of sentence. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah. And he did it a little tongue-in-cheek. He was, you know, having fun with it and everything. I do think that that's interesting. Whether we want to or not, Randy, we cannot be the only sports show in America that doesn't talk about this at least a little bit. So as we're wrapping up our show, I did want to touch on the fact that you mentioned San Francisco as an option maybe for Aaron Rodgers and these things. I will say that I've never felt it was more likely that he is gone than this year.
Right.
In years past, I never believed he was gone.
Right.
This is the first time that I'm actually like, okay, all the tea leaves, everything that Green Bay is kind of corner. I don't think they're necessarily sneaking this stuff information out there. They're letting it just being, you know, hey, here's our cards. Here's where we are. This is what we're thinking. And they seem to be being very honest with Aaron Rodgers about this. Unfortunately, team ownerships and organizations never get credit for these things. It does feel like they have learned a little bit from the Brett Favre situation. And I also think it's noteworthy that some of the people that were there for Favre are not there now. You know, very different GM, very different things here. So adapting to the times and all this. I do think that Aaron Rodgers is gone. I do think he played his last game with the Green Bay Packers. I find it very interesting that him and Favre's careers ended in less pass, less stuff. A lot of similarities.
Interception,
in that.
Last
That's
play.
Just weird.
Yeah.
You know, there's no rhyme or reason to it. I just think it's just weird when those things happen.
You know, the thing I'm wondering is Rodgers in the back of his mind going, if I play another year in Green Bay and the situation doesn't get any better as far as wins and losses and my working with the wide receivers, because I could lose mm-hmm. Alan Lazard as well, and we don't get anybody else. Is my reputation going to, you know, go downhill because I was not in the playoffs last year? This would be 2 years in a row. Where do I go to another team where at least I give myself an opportunity? Because if things start to go south in Green Bay, do the boo birds start coming out and saying, why are we paying this guy $58 million this year to not make the playoffs when we could have been grooming Jordan Love and getting something? So, you know, I wonder if that's in the back of his mind, too.
I have one guarantee. I have one thing I will promise in regarding this situation. Well,
I was gonna say we'll be back next Monday.
yeah, we'll come back. We'll come back with it next Monday. No, and obviously I could be wrong, and if I am, I will have to eat a hat or something like that. I don't believe for a second that he will retire. For one, I think he's got some legs left in him and all that, and I think anybody can see that. But this is a guy who had part of the reason for the big chip on his shoulder is, well, how come I don't get talked about as the GOAT? How come I don't get talked about as this and this? And Tom Brady retires. Aaron Rodgers says he's going to wait to make a decision until after the Super Bowl because he wants to give the game and all that its respect. Less than 24 hours later, Tom Brady comes out with a social media post retiring. There is no way in the world Aaron Rodgers is going into the same Hall of Fame class as Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
No way in human history that will happen. Yes. If Aaron Rodgers' doctors told him you can't play another down of football, he'd play at least one more down just so he could retire the next year, not the same year as Tom Brady. And I'm not even blaming him for that. Like, he's gotten to where he is in his career is because of that chip, and there's just no way you could convince me he's going to retire the same year Tom Brady did.
And J.J. Watt.
Yes.
And a Wisconsin guy.
Right. Yeah. Another good one.
That's a twofer.
No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. I am curious to see where he ends up. I think it would be funny if he ends up with the Jets. I'll admit, I think it'd be a funny scenario just because I know how much he wants to shake the shadow of Brett Favre. And not only was his last pass an interception like Favre's with the Packers, but then he goes to the same team that the Packers traded to Favre. That just seems like something. I almost think that he would nix that trade if he could. I don't know. But
I think he's going to have to want to, at this stage in his career, go to someplace where he thinks for sure he's got a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, is that going to happen in Las Vegas? You know, he wouldn't have the media pressure in Las Vegas. He would out in New York or San Francisco. But I'll tell you, that's going to be a tough choice.
I actually think the Jets don't have a bad team. What would be funny to me is him going to the Jets is the New York media.
Oh, yeah.
He has no idea how privileged his career has been in Green Bay.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. And once he just sets foot off, JFK and just getting off the tarmacs and stuff over there, he's going to be bombarded.
Yeah, reporters on the plane flying him to it.
Randy, always great hanging out with you. Thank you so much for the coverage and all the great work you do, brother.
Sounds great.
And a big thank you to the callers out there. You guys make this show move. We appreciate you. A big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Thanks to them. We'll have more Playmakers for you next week, right in this time slot at WFHR, locally grown radio.